general public comment after this. In fact, right now, I think we only have Mr. Shimek as our only speaker for public comment. Okay.
Time's up.
Okay. All righty. Thanks.
Yeah, see? Three.
Yeah, right. That's what I was looking at. Your time's up, Steve.
Yeah, okay.
Got a lot of material for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Chair Young, board members, and staff, you should have received a letter in your packet in reference to the resolution of February 8th in regards to the Salinas Stormwater Plan. The gist of the letter is that the amendment offered by Dr. Press, accepted by Mr. Hodgin and voted on unanimously, is nowhere in the final resolution sent to the interested parties. I certainly understand that there's a full record. I think it's a fair question, why is Monterey Coast Keeper so testy about the Salinas stormwater plan? Let me explain. One, Salinas' growth is projected to be explosive. According to LAFCO, from 1990 to 2000, Salinas grew by 28% compared to statewide and county average of 13%. Salinas' 2005 population was 146,687, and Salinas projects a population of 213,000 by 2020, 12 years from now. We are watching as Salinas consistently omits critical details when representing the project. Salinas stood before you and said they had no idea where the housing units numbers came from. In the Salinas General Plan housing element, page H13 is where they came from. You can find the number 15,503 units for the future growth area. That's in the Salinas General Plan. Salinas stood before you and said that according to the EPA, the denser the development, the lower the impact on the watershed. They omitted the fact that the EPA example was based on the premise of increasing density to decrease the urban footprint. They said that there were no preliminary plans for the future growth area development. Where did I get these? And I have three of them, one for each area of the future growth area. I got these from the Salinas Planning Department. Three, Salinas keeps saying it will try harder to involve the public. No meeting of the MPDS stakeholder group has been scheduled since we last met in early December. We got an email today that there's none in the foreseeable future. Four, and finally, Salinas has consistently acted as a development proponent and a partner to the future growth area developers instead of a regulating authority. In short, we have many reasons to worry and fret over the outcome of the process. They are delaying and will rush something through at the last minute. That's our fear. They will paint us as obstructionists. They already have. We fear Salinas is driving for a 15,503 solution based on existing plans before the NPDES permit is even issued. That's our fear. Thank you.
Thank you. What the resolution doesn't have all of the discussion.
No.
Points. Is that oversight? I mean, undersight?
Nope. Overlap? Got them all covered. All the items that Mr. Shimek included in his letter are either covered in the resolution or they were actually not to go in the resolution. They were direction to staff. They go in our things to do list after the board meeting, and I've got them all here, which we prepare the next working day after the board meeting. Things like providing the LID status in the future growth area. We've got that to include in our July report for the board. Status on the public participation. The swamp requires them to do the public participation. What the board asked for was an update on how they were doing it. Mm-hmm. So that was direction to us as staff. Okay. So we've got all these things covered.
Okay.
It's just that they didn't all belong in the resolution.
May I respond to that?
Sure.
It was It was stated as a resolution, as an amendment to the resolution, and I time-coded that in my letter to you. It was accepted by Mr. Hodgson. When you stated the resolution for the final vote, you said the resolution as amended and accepted. I mean, I've time-coded the entire thing.
I read your letter, so I know that you did go through the whole tape.
Yes.
And identified everything.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chair Young?
Yes.
May I press Mr. Shimmick on a question that I have regarding some issues that we talked about yesterday? Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate you staying the full day and allowing that we have public comment at every meeting. We usually don't have it this late, so I appreciate you hanging out for that. You know, yesterday we had a conversation. I think you were here yesterday.
Yes.
We considered options we have to recognize some trends that are developing through our own monitoring data that relate to persistent organic pollutants, or POPs as they're called sometimes, and other emerging contaminants, and specifically how that might be something we can address in terms of the ocean environment as well as freshwater streams. I'm wondering if, as the Monterey Bay Keeper, if you have any thoughts or ideas that you could add to the discussion.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I had thought about this overnight, and I came up with kind of an interesting idea. I have not vetted this through the principal parties, but there is a new organization out there that is funded with quite a bit of money, and it is a partnership between Stanford University, the Environmental Law Center, Hopkins Marine Station, and MBARI, which is Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute. The interim director is Meg Caldwell. The exact purpose of that new organization is to do exactly what you're asking, what we're asking about. In other words, to come up with problems where we have we've got data and we've got scientific expertise and we know what an issue is, and their task, their mission is to come up with the legislative approach of how to deal with that problem. So in other words, they are trying to form that bridge between a public policy gap and research data, you know, suggesting that we need to fill that need. And I'm suggesting that this would be a great project where you could, as a regional board, suggest to them that there needs to be a legislative solution. And also gets you out from under the gun of course, you folks don't really suggest legislation, but this would be a mechanism to have that legislation sort of thought about and crafted.
Thank you. And I hesitate to ask you to take on any more, but it would be great if you could follow up with staff and give them any assistance in taking those steps.
I'd be happy to do that, and I'd also be happy. Meg Caldwell, who some of you know, is the interim director. She's incredibly talented. I've worked with her several times, and she's the director of the Environmental Law Center at Stanford, and she's the interim director. She was also past Coastal Commission chair, so she knows these issues. She knows the players, I'm sure I'd be happy to make introductions between staff and Meg also.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Can you provide a real quick update on that, Michael?
I'm working with Meg Caldwell.
Right.
Well, as Steve mentioned, she is the interim director of the Center for Ocean Solutions. And I attended a meeting in Monterey a couple of weeks ago where they kicked off the Center for Ocean Solutions, and they talked about their priorities and dealing with the issues, the land-sea the connection. And two of the things they mentioned as the primary issues that they wanted to address are low-impact development and agricultural runoff as being two major problems that they see the center as addressing. So we plan on following up with that group and others that are working on these issues. And as you know, we're currently working on the low-impact development center, developing that on the Central Coast. Along those lines, we met with Neil Weinstein, who's the director of the Low Impact Development Center in Maryland, and he has said that he would like to open an office here on the Central Coast. So we're collaborating with him to do that. We're developing a business plan right now, and we're talking to a strong candidate to be the director of that center. And so we're going to be working with, at least collaborating with, talking with the Center for Ocean Solutions on our efforts in that area. So we're doing a lot of coordination with other groups, the Coastal Conservancy, the Coastal Commission, CASQA, and CalWOP, these different organizations that are
Ocean
involved
Protection
in low impact.
Council.
Pardon?
Ocean Protection Council.
The Ocean Protection Council. All these different groups that are interested in the same things. We're trying to elevate our level of coordination with all these groups and leverage our efforts and coordinate our attempts to get funding. And I'll be attending several meetings next week along those lines with those organizations.
So you'll be in a position to add this particular issue as one of our priorities that may not be on their radar in terms of new policy, new legislation required. But I think what we understand is that until Department of Health Services or the Department of Health in the state starts to take action on these through either identifying standards or numeric targets or as, you know, in this traditional fashion. What we're talking about is the idea that we're seeing these contaminants at levels that should be triggering some kind of forward thinking. What do we do?
Yes.
We can see a problem developing. And I think what Steve is proposing is that from Meg's perspective, and I've also had a chance to talk with her recently, and she is really grappling with the idea that what is going on the ground in terms of folks who are actually seeing and trying to affect restoration and water quality issues, that they don't have the tools to do it. This mm-hmm. is a perfect example mm-hmm. where we don't have the tools to take action. We can see the problem. We can define it. We can characterize it. We can do more. But I think alerting someone in a position like hers mm-hmm. to help bring that to the agenda where policy starts to take shape. So I think that would be a great opportunity, and I would appreciate
yeah.
hearing some
I think feedback. It is, yeah. I think it is a great opportunity, and we have plenty of ideas for policy changes and legislative changes. And as you know, we as staff of the Water Board do not propose legislation, but nevertheless we have plenty of ideas for it. So we will definitely be following up on that.